And follow along with me. This evening, I'm very much encouraged by the prayer that Brother Corey led, because it is a fact, brethren, that the Lord is returning one day, and we need to be a ready people. But one thing you oftentimes hear it said in our society today is something like this. Does it matter what Christians practice in their attempts to follow Christ and go to heaven? Does it matter? Well, be honest with you, there's a great many. Doesn't really matter, even though they may profess to call themselves Christians, because they very, maybe once a year, darken the door of the Lord's church on special occasion, quote unquote. But yet, there is a day coming, a day of reckoning, that we must be prepared for. So, let's look at this subject just for a bit. What Jesus had to say about, does it really matter? As we're told there, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, very, very familiar verses, as we see, Jesus tells us, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there be many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You know, that doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Does it? No, it's not running with the crowd, is it? But we shouldn't be running with the crowd, because that's what the world wants. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth on this verse here in a minute. Of the two ways mentioned by Jesus, which one leads to life? Well, we see there in that verse that it is the narrow way. Okay? Narrow road. It's a difficult road. It's not going to be a bed of roses. Just because you got baptized into Christ, raised up again, that's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't make life a bed of roses. Now, it will help you much going through life. You know you have the Spirit and that with you as you've been obedient unto Christ to help you through those narrow pathways that you have to work through sometimes and those difficult hurdles you may have to jump from time to time. So what does Jesus say about the number of those who find it? What did Jesus say about it? He said, few there'll be that will find it. Now, I don't know about you. I'll be honest with you. It's very easy for me to deceive myself. Makes me feel a whole lot better if I think I'm in the crowd. You know? But you know what? That's the old Satan working. And better be careful. If you think all is well and dandy, you better truly assess your situation. Because if all is well and dandy, to me that sounds like you're on the superhighway, Don. You're out there running top speed limit, cruising along through life. Everything's going good. So back roads, curvy roads, that's a challenge. So what does find it imply? Notice here, it doesn't come automatically. You've got to search for that narrow pathway to walk. Just because you're baptized in water, raised up again, that doesn't make it all right. You've got to walk on that narrow pathway. Oh yeah, preacher, that's easy for you to say. No, we all need to walk that narrow pathway, because Jesus says that's where we have eternal life. So, as we go on, again, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, in a narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. What does the broad way lead to? It leads to destruction. And we need to tell people this. We need to teach it. We need to share it with those that are out there running the superhighway of life, running an all-out speed limit, thinking that all is well. It leads to destruction. Nobody likes to hear that. So, doesn't matter then which gate you enter or which way we travel. That's your question to answer. Does it make a difference? Does it really matter? Well, I always think about going to the doctor when I get sick. The doctor gives me some prescriptions to fulfill to make me better, to heal me again. Well, does it matter if I fill those prescriptions or not? Absolutely it does. Right? That's what you went for. You want to get better. You want to get healthier. Well, brother, it does matter what we do. Remember which gospel preacher we had here kind of talked about the 1%. I think that was the brother down in Arkansas. Forget now. Anyway, the question is not, are we too narrow? No. I hear that oftentimes. Are we too narrow? The question is, are we narrow enough? Right? That's really where the rubber hits the road. Doesn't it? So, as we consider tonight, Jesus further said in Matthew 7:15, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Yes? So, why should we beware of false prophets? Well, as I've said several times recently, I don't know why it works out this way, but, you know, we typically like for people to tell us the truth, don't we? You know? And that's what we're looking for. False prophets doesn't tell you the truth. How does Jesus describe the false prophets? As ravenous wolves out seeking to devour the prey. They're sneaky, cunning, usually run in packs, don't they? We read about and hear about every morning on the news. But anyway, that's false. I'm not talking about false prophets. So, what is implied concerning the safety of sheep by this depiction of false prophets? Now, I know y'all have heard me say that there's a sheep live across the road from me. We all know, we all like sheep, aren't they? They're cute, they're cuddly. They're very gentle, kind, for the most part. And we see that they're in harm's way when it comes to these false prophets. And I'll be honest with you, it really scares me standing up here, knowing the responsibility that I have to make sure that I'm true to God's word. And it scares me. I strive to do that very thing. But anyway, should we be any less weary of those who do not claim to be prophets, but nevertheless mistakenly claim to be teaching the truth of God? We cannot let our guard down, plain and simple. Even with me, please. I remember one dear sister we had here, she's passed since, that oftentimes would call me off to the side and question me about what I said or what I meant from the pulpit. So, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And that's what we should be doing. Hearing his voice and following him. But you know how many times have we seen at various congregations of the Lord's body and of the denominational group where a preacher is let go and goes, is gone, and there goes half the congregation following the man. And that's sad. And that's the one thing I insist on here that if any event, I don't care what the event is, if I'm called off to go to another work or you fire me out of the pulpit here, I expect it as a body of Christ here to remain solid together in defending God's word. Don't follow a man, follow God and his word. But it happens. Okay, I'm sorry about that. You cannot identify false prophets by the way that they look, because they can and they do disguise themselves as wolves in sheep's clothing. You know? Oh, Joel Osteen. he sure sounds pretty, don't he? He makes me feel happy. Woohoo! I kick up my heels, right? You didn't think I could do that. Well, but you know what? He don't talk about sin, does he? He doesn't talk about sin, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's all they are. Matter of fact, there's been a few years ago now, quite a few years ago, there's a preacher I heard on, I guess that's on the internet, I guess. James Boyd. Out of good old boy down in South someplace. I don't know if he's out of Louisiana, Mississippi, someplace down in there. You can go out to his website, The Burning Bush, I think it's called. Oh, man, he preaches hell's fire and brimstone. But I transcribed one of his lessons that he gave. And it really made no sense of what he was teaching. Sounded good. But anyway, sorry about that. I got off track. False prophets are deceiving. And it's no wonder. For Satan himself, notice, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So why wouldn't his followers do the same? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. So, how do we identify these false prophets? Jesus says, gave us the key by replacing the figure of wolves with the figure of good trees, a parable that he tells, and bad trees. He does this because no distinction can be made between good and bad wolves. He said in Matthew 7:16-20, you will know them by their fruits. And I remember one congregation I was at, we was looking for a preacher to come work for us, and this one man was names brought up, and I'd never heard the man, and didn't know anything about him, so I called another dear friend of mine, a good brother of mine at the time, and asked him what his thoughts were. Did he know anything about this man? And so on and so forth. And the only response he gave me was, well, you will know them by the fruits. You'll know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Of course not. Or do they get figs from thistles? Of course not. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So it does matter what you believe, who you hear. But what is the fruit of false prophet? Well, the fruit of a tree is that which you can get from the tree. The fruit that I sow here is exactly what you receive. Now, I don't know if that's good. I don't know if it's bad. I hope it's all good fruit. Therefore, the fruit of a prophet is that which you get from the prophet. See all that? No, I apologize. That needs to be shortened just a little bit. So, it's very important. It does matter spiritually what we're taught, what we hear, and what we do. We also see from a true prophet, you get the truth of God. That's the way it should be. And how do you know unless you follow along, right? I say it all the time. Please don't rely upon the preacher. Don't rely upon me. I hope to point you that way. Look for yourself. It's your faith. Nobody can have faith for you. You have to be the one to establish that faith, and you alone. Your parents can't do it for you. Great-grandparents can't do it for you. But a true prophet will get you the truth of God. From a false prophet, you get that which claims to be, but it's not, the truth of God. The fruit of the prophet, whether true or false, is the teaching of that prophet. And I know sometimes you don't like things that are in the Bible, as said. A little hard to swallow sometimes, but it's the truth. It's there for your good, my good, our good. Would you go to a thorn bush to expect to go pick some grapes or to a thistle to go pick some figs? Of course not. So, you go to a false prophet to get the truth of God? Think about that. Do you go to a false prophet expecting to get the truth, what the word says? There's a great many that are doing that very thing. What will happen to every tree that does not bring forth good fruit? Yep. Cut down and burned, isn't it? Burned in hell's fire. Eternally. Every such tree is cut down and thrown to the fire. So, Jesus also said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. It's that simple. It's that simple. Nothing more, nothing less. Just saying, Lord, Lord, it's not going to get you there. You have to do, that's an action word, that's a verb, I would guess. I don't know if it's really a verb or not. It's an action word of getting to work and doing what God expects you to. I have to admit, there's times it's hard for me to keep on keeping on with this sometimes. You know? But we got to go. We got to keep on. We got to work. So we must conclude, therefore, that some who say to him, Lord, Lord, are not doing the will of his Father. And some say that they're doing his will, but their practice belies. You look at that. Oh, they say they're good. They say they do. But then they get caught up in sins of the world. It gets published on the news. Brethren, I hope and pray that nothing that I ever say or do or get involved with would ever bring shame upon the Lord's church. Anyway, if they're not doing his will, they must be going down the broad way. We all remember where the broad way leads. As mentioned, there is a judgment day. And I guess I need to do another lesson on hell or judgment day again, because this is so important. The judgment day. As we see in Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And done away with many wonders in your name? Look at what all I've done for you, God. And have I not declared to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Yeah. That's exactly what will happen. Many will say, look at what I've done. And the Lord's going to say, it's not just a matter of calling him Lord. It's a matter of practicing what is lawful. doing his will. And perhaps these thought that they were practicing what was lawful, but was actually they were not. So again, the question is not, are we going necessarily down a narrow path? But is that path narrow enough to put us on the path that Jesus? I grew up in the country, and I know what it's like to have a narrow path, very tight and very narrow. You get off that path, that it does that. So, as we're told, Matthew 7, 24 through 7, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? You know, you could stop right there. And it's like punching you right in the face. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Yes, it makes a difference. It matters, brothers, what you believe and what you do. So what did the two men in Jesus' illustration have in common? Well, each was building a religious house, perhaps, just as each one was either on the narrow way or the broad way. It all depends. Which way are you going? One was building on a rock of God's word, the truth, and the other was building of human error, human wisdom. The former was on the narrow way. However, the latter was on the broad way. So remember, the narrow way leads to life, but the broad way, so it doesn't matter. Did Jesus speak as though it does not matter what Christians believe and are practice? I always think of him turning the tables over there in the temple because they were money changers and using God's house as a place of retail, so to speak. Did Jesus speak as though it does not matter which gate one enters or which way one travels? No, he was quite clear, wasn't he? Don't let false prophets lead you away via the wide gate and the broad way, because that will give you and take you to destruction quicker than you. So, if you would, open up your hymn books, number 640. 640 is a song of the invitation we will give to anyone and everyone here this evening to invite you. So let's get on the narrow way, because the Lord is truly, and he is always, softly and tenderly calling you to be with him. God wants you with him. I know that. Why else would he give his very own son to be a sacrifice for us so that we can be with him, to be in heaven throughout all eternity? But if you found that you've been going down the broad way of life, oh yeah, you know, almost every major town in USA has that street name, Broadway, right? Well, that's exactly the way the world's going, Broadway. And it's not a pleasant thing. You think of Broadway being a fantastic street, right? It's not. It's a narrow way. And you know, brother, there's days I feel like I'm just walking like this, trying to hang on. Put your confidence in Him. Understand and follow Him. Do His will. All things will be much, much better. If anyone has a need here this evening, I invite you to come forward. While together we stand and sing, number 640.